Good morning, church. How are you today? Good. It's good to be here. It's really an honor to be here. I do know Justin for a long time since he was a young man. He was raised in Wellington. And so I was doing some youth ministry while he was growing up. He didn't go to our church, but you know, I knew him through the high school. And his dad, Jeff, was our athletic director in Wellington for a number of years. So I really don't have any stories or any dirt to share on him. As you probably know, he's a great guy. So if you were coming for that, I'm sorry to have to disappoint you, but I wonder if you'd just pray with me as we get started today. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this gathering of your beloved people. We just ask that you'll fill our hearts with your Spirit and let our words and our meditations be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, of course, today is America's number one religious holiday, right? Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, we might celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or Ramadan or something, but the Super Bowl Sunday brings us all together, right? So as I was thinking about the scriptures today, the thing that came to me was the importance of coaches. And now, I know it may have been a few years, but how many of you played on a sports team when you were growing up? Anybody here? Okay. Has anyone had did you come across a great coach at that time? Anybody have a fabulous coach? Maybe if not, you might see some up here that you admire, that you think are very talented. And so for me, there's one particular coach that stands out. When I was in high school, actually, I played JV football. And I had a coach there who played football at our high school, and then he went on to play college football. And his name was Harvey Horowitz, and he was just a mountain of a man, okay? He was a lineman, huge guy, but he was gentle as a teddy bear, okay? So he had the coach's playbook, you know, the coach's playbook, the page in there that says you have to scream at your players and insult them and demean them, right? He had that page, and he really tried to follow that, but he just couldn't. He was just too sweet of a guy. So he would yell at us and we would just kind of snicker, you know. But my enduring memory of him was I remember we'd come back from a ball game and we'd be driving on the bus and the bus would stop, Harvey would disappear. 5 minutes later, he'd come back with a big box of ice cream sandwiches for the players. So this is the kind of coach he was. So he wasn't following the coaches, the typical football coach, and yet 40 years later, I still remember his name. I still remember his face. I even remember the sound of his voice. And I remember what he taught us about life and really about football as well. So what is a coach, really, right? A coach is a mentor that teaches athletes and disciplines them and holds them accountable and motivates them, right? That's what a coach is. And the best of them also inspire them to dream what they can achieve and then helps them to achieve that dream, right? And, you know, when the Super Bowl is played tonight, the winning team is going to win this trophy, which is named after the legendary coach who I'm sure all of you will remember here, whose name is what? Vince Lombardi, right. In the early service, there was a lot of people that didn't really know who he was. So that's good. I really feel comfortable about that. And as you may have heard, Coach Lombardi one time had a saying very famously where he said, winning isn't everything. It's what? The only thing. We've heard that, right? And so at first listening, you might think that that is in conflict with what my coach Harvey, his philosophy, right? But I don't really think it is. Because what I believe that Lombardi meant by that is that basically, if you want to be successful in life or in anything, Anyone who wants to be successful has to be about what they're about. They need to be fully about what they are about. In other words, don't say that you're about one thing and then don't do what that thing requires. I think that's what Lombardi meant by that. So for instance, for my coach, Harvey Horowitz, he was coaching a team filled with all these young adolescent boys who had gone out for football, and for any number of reasons, some of which had nothing to do with winning games. Might have been winning a date or something like that. In any case, the most important thing that was coming from that experience was that those boys would learn to grow up just a little bit. Learn something about what it means to work hard, to be a part of a team, you know, and to learn about teamwork, and learn something about themselves and about life, right? And so Harvey taught us, by the way he treated us, that we mattered to him. Okay? So that's what he was about. And he was about that. Okay? So on the other hand, Vince Lombardi was a coach of professional football players, right? They're paid to play football and to win games. So when he, you know, was saying to them, winning is everything, I think he was merely saying, don't settle for anything less than what your real purpose is. Don't settle for anything less. And how do we know that? We know that Vince Lombardi was about more than just himself. He was about his players becoming the best that they could be. How do we know? Because they said so, right? His players loved him. And one of his most famous players, Jerry Kramer, will share in this video that we're going to watch just what Coach Lombardi meant to him.
There was a timeless quality about Coach Lombardi's principles, his concepts, his beliefs. Coach said it very simple. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. He was from Brooklyn, the son of a butcher, tough as nails, gap teeth, horn-rimmed glasses. But he knew football, so much so that they put his name on the Super Bowl trophy. Vincent Thomas Lombardi. When he was first named head coach, we had a meeting and said, I have never been a loser and I'm not about to start now.
You'll be proud of this game and you can do a great deal for football today.
Forceful, full of energy, full of fire, full of burn.
Hey, what about that now?
But he was a good teacher. He gave me permission to dream. He gave me permission to believe in myself and believe that I could be one of the better guards in the game at that time.
Go out there and play this ball game like I know you can play it.
He was an incredibly demanding, difficult human being. And I think because he demanded so much of himself that he could demand that much of us. That last drive in the Ice Bowl personifies the Lombardi era and the Lombardi team. We found all the fire and all the heart and all the principles of Coach Lombardi. That's what took us down the field at 65 yards and into the end zone.
Third and goal, quarterback.
That philosophy, his principles, his beliefs, his concepts were relevant 4,000 years ago. And they'll be relevant 4,000 years from now.
That's a little bit of why Vince Lombardi is just known as a great coach. And I know that here at Bellevue Church, you've been talking a lot about discipleship, right? Okay, Pastor Justin's been talking. I'm sure he's giving you a lot of education on what that means, filling that in with information, that kind of thing. A definition of what a disciple is. Well, I'm just going to give you one more, okay? One more, so bear with me. I would like to suggest to you that a disciple of Jesus is at least this, a person who has chosen to follow Jesus Christ as his coach or her coach. person that's chosen Jesus as their coach, who has said, this is the team that I'm on. Okay? This is the one who I'm going to listen to. And this is the way that I'm going to go. This is the life I'm going to lead, no matter what. So by that definition, then, we have to ask ourselves, how is my discipleship going? How is our discipleship going? And that's a tough question, isn't it? Am I choosing all the time? I mean, if I'm honest, I know that I'm not always choosing that. There are many, many times when I choose to follow my own instructions, my own preferences, my own opinions, my own intuitions, okay, my own desires, right? And so I'm kind of like in baseball, what they used to call, what they call the guy that, you know, he was on the team, but he was also the manager? What do you call him? Player-manager, right? Player-manager. So that's when I'm being like a player-manager. And the funny thing is, I still expect to win the championship, being my own player-manager. I think I've really got all the great ideas. I'm going to be fine, right? Ask yourself this question. How many of the great teams, had a player manager? Not very many, right? It's just not a formula that really works. Why? Because, you know, following Jesus can be very hard, can't it? It can be very difficult. Because like any coach, Jesus is always pushing us to go beyond what's easy for us, to work hard, to take risks, okay? To the risk of ministering to someone. As Dave was saying, getting out there, meeting the needs of people. It's not easy. It's uncomfortable to forgive someone who's hurt us, right? Maybe someone in the church. Maybe someone in our family. Those cut the deepest, don't they? And he's pushing us to do that hard stuff. He's asking us to reach out to people that, you know, we'd rather just ignore. We'd like to focus on our own life and our own comfort, but he's pushing us out of our comfort zone. So those are the things that make it. But it's so important that we follow our coach, because if we don't, we lose so much. And I think what our scripture is saying is that we don't just, you know, lose some things around the edge. We start to lose ourselves when we stop following our coach. And even if we're trying, and I know that we're here, right, because we're all trying to follow our coach. But even if we're trying, it can be very difficult to know, you know, how am I doing? I do believe it's possible, though, because the Bible shares ways that we can know if we're a disciple, if we're following Jesus. And what the Bible says, that if we are a disciple of Jesus, we're becoming more like him. If we're listening to what he says and we're putting it into action. And our feelings are not always the best guide of that. Our actions often really tell where our heart is. Okay, so Jesus is our coach. So what did the coach say in our locker room talk this morning? He started out by saying, you are the salt of the earth. I neglected to read the scripture, I realized. I better read it right now. Let me do that. So let's read this scripture from Matthew 5, chapter 13. He says there, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel or under a bowl, some translations say, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus starts out If Jesus is our coach, he's saying, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world, and so it sounds really good. But then, like any good coach, he holds us accountable, right? And he says, but wait a minute, if salt loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing but to be trampled underfoot. Ouch. For salt to lose its saltiness, he's saying, it's ridiculous. In other words, us not doing what God asks us to do is ridiculous. It's as ridiculous as lighting a candle and then putting it under a bowl. He's saying, forget the bowl. For you and I to say we are his disciples, then to not follow what he tells us, it's not just laziness or we get off track. It's actually becoming, losing who he made us to be. And what a bad coach Jesus would be if he just kind of left us there and said, hey, be salty. But if you're not salty, you get trampled underfoot. Is that where he leads us? No, he doesn't leave us there. He makes it first very clear in his word what he means. And that's where the Isaiah scripture that comes in that Dave read. And thank you, Dave, for doing a wonderful job of getting the feeling of that. That scripture is a conversation between God and his people. So it's from the Old Testament, and so the people are fasting and praying because life is not good. Things are bad for them. And they're fasting and praying. And they're saying in the first part of that scripture, why do we fast and pray? And you don't hear us. You don't answer our prayer. Okay, but the problem that comes out later in that reading is, well, they're fasting and praying, but they're mistreating other people. They're not really concerned about treating other people with justice. And so God makes it clear, what is the fast that I expect, that I want to see? Loose the bonds of injustice. Let the oppressed go free. Share your bread with the hungry. Satisfy the needs of the afflicted. Bring the homeless poor into your home. Cover the naked. Don't hide yourself from your own kin or countrymen. Stop the pointing of the finger and stop speaking evil of others. Don't just pray and fast and then be selfish. I won't hear you. Don't cry out to me about your rights when you're not concerned about the rights of other people. God promises us, I will see to the justification of the poor. I will see to it. And it's very important that we have to notice that Old Testament scripture was not intended to go to one person. That Isaiah scripture was written to a nation. It was written to the nation of Israel. And I believe that those words are just as relevant for our nation today. Now, I don't care what political party you support or if you support no party at all. If we are calling ourselves Americans and also Christians, we need to listen to this scripture in Isaiah and take it seriously. What does it say? Share your bread with the hungry. Satisfy the needs of the afflicted. Bring the poor into your house. Cover the naked. Don't hide yourself from your countrymen, your own kin. Stop pointing the finger. Stop speaking evil of others. There is so much of this today. And I'm not proud to say that I've certainly done my part. And yet, it's not getting us anywhere. What a confusing coach Jesus would be if those words were in the Old Testament, but then in the New Testament, he contradicted them. But does he? He doesn't contradict those words. We all know what the New Testament says, right? The New Testament says, love your neighbor as yourself. Consider others more highly than yourself. Look after the interests of others as dearly and diligently as you care for your own body. So if you want to think about Jesus as a coach, This is what he's saying in the locker room. This is what he's saying at halftime to the people. And if we're honest, it's very challenging, okay? None of us can claim to live up to that standard. I know that I can't, but it's okay. He's not throwing us out as unsalty salt, okay? He can change us. We can change. And God can work the change in us that he is hoping to make. Jesus is not telling us we're worthless as unsalty salt. He knows that we fall short, but like any really good coach, he's holding us accountable because he believes that we can be the salt of the earth and we can be the light that he created us to be. And then God tells us and tells Israel what can happen if we follow him and we won't give up. We won't give up on following this way. In verse 8, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 8, it says, "Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing," that means the healing of you, of the community, and of each of us, "will spring up quickly, and your vindicator will go before you." Who's their vindicator? It's God. "Your vindicator will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." God will be in front of you. God will be behind you. God will be on your left. God will be on your right. "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer you. You'll cry for help, and he'll say, 'Here I am.'" I believe today that when Jesus is saying, "Be salt and light, be salt and light," he's saying the same thing that Vince Lombardi was saying when he said, "Winning is the only thing." He's saying, "Don't settle for anything less than my true purpose for you, no matter how hard it is." This is a process that the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, called sanctification. And it is a process. Many of us here, including myself, have been on this journey for a while, okay? So we've been doing this long enough to know what is there. There's ups and downs, aren't there? Ups and downs in life and ups and downs in our faith, in our following, right? But it's a process, and I'm so grateful that it's a process. Because what this means is that if no matter where you're at, whether you've had failures and disappointments, or you're up on a mountaintop, God is not against us. God is on our side, just like a great coach. And I'm so grateful for what the Bible says. What does the Bible say about this process? It says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us," what? "Rejoice." This is the day. "And now is the hour of salvation." And for me, what I take that to mean is that I can have a fresh start today. God can work in me today and fix me and move me ahead. And God can make my tomorrow even better yet if we let him. So here is a video that I want to share with you that shows the kind of transformation that Jesus is inviting us to when we begin to see people the way God sees them.
Oh, that kid, every time I'm pulling out, he's right there. Man, and someone needs to talk to his parents. If they're ever at home. What is it with the traffic today? It's always, every day, this intersection's always crowded. I hate pulling out of here. I need some of these dumb roads. Oh, there's... Oh. Okay, so I'm not even here. Right. Great lady. The princess of parking. Sure, take the spot. Way to be considerate. Oh, are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Oh.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a great day.
It's about time. Let's see, what do I want?
Yeah, could I add a cookie to that order?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no problem, only guy in the world. I'm sure you need your cookie. The world, your oyster, and he's serving your cookies.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you so much. Uh-huh.
What can I get for you?
Yeah, I'll have a tall decaf macchiato.
Yeah, sure, no problem. You're $3.85. And it might take a few minutes here. We've got quite a line, obviously, and thanks for your patience. Great.
Yeah, great. Great for me. Winning again. Unbelievable. What? What? What is... What am I supposed to do? How can I do anything about that? Can I even help with that? I don't...
Your copy, sir. Oh.
I can't take this anymore. I gotta get out of here.
Hey, what?
Hey, buddy, come here.
The people he saw with those glasses. Those are you, the people sitting next to you, around you. They're the other people in this church, right? Maybe even the ones that bug you a little bit, that you can't understand. That's who they are. It's the people outside this church that make you a little uncomfortable, that you don't know, you maybe are afraid to know. That's who they are. And I look at that, and if I ask myself, how's my discipleship going? Oftentimes, my glasses are right down here, right? He wants us to put them on. So if we want to know how our discipleship is going, how are we seeing the people around us? Being unsalty salt, being a light, which is what you are. You are a light. And put that under a bowl? Well, that's ridiculous. He's saying not just that's wrong. He's saying that's not who you are. That's not who I created you to be. And if you're feeling a little overwhelmed today, either by or discouraged by yourself or with yourself or with this world, then don't give up. Don't give up. Because here's the thing, you and I have the best coach in the world. We have a coach as good as Vince Lombardi was. We have a coach that's even better. Vince Lombardi's players loved him, right? But we have a coach even better than Vince Lombardi. Because there's one thing that Vince Lombardi didn't do. One thing he didn't do was he did not give up his life on a cross. He didn't suffer death for his players in that way that Jesus did for us. All right? And so if you're feeling discouraged, remember that you have a coach. He believes that you and I are the salt and light in this world, and he's making us into that. And if we'll try to bring to him all of our ups and downs, trust him with our successes, with our failures, with our struggles, and then we'll be bold and step up and step out in the ways that we can to show love where we can, then God will be, and we will be a light in this world. And the Bellevue Church will be like a city on a hill that can't be hid. And others will see the light of our good works, and they'll give glory, not to us, but to our Father in heaven, who loves each one of us. Amen.